Blog Talk Radio.
Evening, everybody. This is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live, and we're here on a Thursday afternoon doing this podcast because Tim and I, we're coming up on Christmas, and we've got plans. I'll be traveling up to New York to see my kids, and Tim is traveling to, I think, Thunder Bay to see his kids, and so we thought we'd sneak in a quick podcast on a Thursday. It'll be a quick show. We're going to talk about some of the trades and signings that have been over this week. And I think an interesting topic is, should the Angels trade Mike Trout? And then the second question is, will they trade Mike Trout? So it doesn't necessarily, you know, we might think they need to, and the Angels might think they need to, but will they have the courage to do that? And so Timmy and I will be talking about that. And then we'll tell you what's going to be going on over the course of the draft season, and when Tim will be coming out with all of his position rankings, and when we'll be doing mock drafts and so forth. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do that on Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361. I'll let Tim ask him where he can reach out to, where you can reach out to him. If you want to support the show, you can go out to iTunes and rate and review us. And you can go out to our site, Prospect 361, upper right-hand corner, to visit our sponsors, StubHub, Amazon.com, MLB Shops, and, of course, Steiner Sports. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Mr. McLeod, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. I have to agree with you. It's hard to beat a quickie on a Thursday afternoon, isn't it?
Okay. Very well played, Mr. McLeod. That's nicely done. How has your week been?
Good, Rich. I'm busy with getting ready for the festive season and ranking and sorting players. I'm firmly convinced that moving forward, Major League Baseball should not allow players to play at more than one position, okay? There should be a rule, okay? It's just not fair. It really isn't. But I'm keeping busy, staying out of trouble. How was your football? How was your football weekend?
It was actually pretty cool, Tim. I will say it was a very exciting game. It was the Los Angeles Rams at the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles are the defending Super Bowl champs, Tim, as you might know. And so I was out in Los Angeles for that, and they had a one of those suites, which was kind of fun. And not only was it a suite, it's a huge stadium. That's where they had the Olympics, where the Rams play. I think they're building a new stadium somewhere. But we had two suites. One was kind of in the end zone. Timmy, it looked like we were a mile away from the field. And then the second suite they had was a field-level suite that literally I was standing on the field. I was literally in the end zone, standing on the field. And there was one play where the running back was literally running right towards me. It was pretty remarkable. That was cool.
Yeah, was it an elevator so you could go back and forth, up and down, or did you have to sort of pick one?
Long steps, Tim, long steps. So now we have passes for both. And so I stayed mostly in the upper suite. It was bigger. The lower one had, I was down there for a quarter. And when you're in the end zone, when the play's on the other end, Tim, you can't see a thing, man. It's just not a thing. So it was fun. I will say it was fun. It was a long day, man, but it was fun.
Well, yeah, and my guess is they had all the complimentary food and beverages to go along with it, would be my guess.
Yeah, so there was two. So this started off, it was like an organized event. It was, I'm on a board, and, you know, it was kind of a thing for the board. So it was like a fan fest, and then it was the fancy food at some club, and we did that. I got my picture taken with some guy named Eric Dickerson. I think I've heard of him. You ever heard of him, right? He's a former running back. So I got my picture taken. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
He was
handsome guy.
That's amazing.
He's a handsome guy.
I'm sure I'm sure Eric was happy to get his picture taken with the great Rich Wilson. Like, come on, what an honor for him.
Yeah, he asked me, you know, like how the fantasy baseball season was looking and stuff like that. No, he didn't say that. But no, it was fun. We chatted for a bit. I got pictures taken. He says, you want my autograph? I go, I have no idea what I would do with that. He goes, nor do I. So I go, okay, well, then I don't want it. He goes, you know,
well,
I am in the Hall of Fame.
It saves you going to eBay, right?
Exactly. I said, you know, all right, I can go out and sell it on eBay for what, $50? He goes, no, I think they go for more than that. In case it, so I think he's in a Hall of Fame, right? Isn't he? I think he's a big deal.
Yeah, no, when I was following football many, many years ago, yeah, he was a stud running back, Hall of Famer, very, very talented individual, strong as a horse.
Man, I'm looking at his autographed football, $223. Jeez, Tim, I should have gotten the signed football.
You must have had a baseball in your pocket somewhere. You could have got him to
no,
sign.
I had a football.
Something,
they gave,
right?
They gave me a football for him to sign. I had a football. And
oh,
I said,
no,
I'm good. I'm good. Mm. I didn't want to have to take it back to the plane. So.
Oh, yeah. Could have covered off your Christmas presents, right?
Yeah, I know. I could have given it to somebody, but it was a lot of fun, Timmy. We were spoiled, and it was great. It's just, and you know, the weather was
good,
beautiful. It was a good day. It was again a long day, man, because we left where I was about 1 o'clock and didn't get back until like 11 or so. I mean, it was just, you know, and it's, you know, I don't really care about the game and everybody's all excited because it was an exciting game. I was just kind of sitting there going, okay, this is interesting. So, but anyway.
Yeah. When you toss the plane travel in there as well, that makes for a couple hectic days.
Yeah. That's all I did, Timmy. I literally went out on an airplane at 3 o'clock from Charlotte on Saturday. And I had
right.
a board meeting in the morning and then you know, the outing. And then I got on a plane at 8:40 and got home at 9:30 that night. So that was my week. And then, so we couldn't do the show on Sunday. And then I didn't get you the notes
right.
this morning, you know, to do a little behind the baseball scene kind of stuff. Cause I got back, I had stuff to do on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, Lori was updating her iPhone and she goes, it says it's not working right. And Timmy, all day I spent on that phone to get it fixed. So it's been one of those.
You said you lost both of them, Rich. As a techno girl, the likes of which many of us have never seen before, it must have drove you nuts having to spend a full day trying to get your iPhones back working.
So Lori's took most of the day. Part of it was updating her Mac to the latest version, you know, so you update. That took 3 hours. So it wasn't like I was staring at it, but then I tell you, the Apple people are awesome. I mean, they were great on the phone, and they got it squared away. It was some kind of glitch, and they got that worked away. And in my phone, you know, I'm transferring the number from my company to my personal, and it's just a big hassle to me. Just not going well. And she finally said, this is what we're going to do. We're sending you a phone that works. Don't even worry. Here's a phone. So, because you'd go to the Verizon store and they go, we can't do that. I'm like, what? Here's a kind of phone that says you can't. So,
it sounds like their service model, Rich, should be an Apple a day keeps the Android away.
Exactly. So the funniest thing is finally we're ready to go, and the techie guys talk to the techie guys. I bring my phone into the Verizon store again. So I'm doing this on Wednesday afternoon. I give it to it, and the guy goes, oh, this phone's not compatible with the Verizon network. This is only compatible with the AT&T network. Seriously? He goes, yeah, you have to buy a new phone. I'm like, seriously? It's like, this phone's like 3 weeks old. So. All squared away. I've got it all squared away. So, hey, but that was my Wednesday, Timmy. Literally, all I did was phones. So,
yeah, that, you know what? To an untechno sort of guy like myself, that almost sounds like unfun. Okay, that's definitely something I wouldn't want to endure. No way.
You find that you're still in your pajamas and it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon because you've been on the phone all day long with a technical guy. So, but that was my Wednesday, Tim, and it was good. And what about your week?
I think
your week. And I know
it's,
we lost.
It's 1 o'clock
I know
in the afternoon, right? I'm still in my pajamas and doing a podcast. What can I say?
What can you say? Well, I know that, Timmy, before we get into the questions, I know we lost kind of one of the titans in the fantasy industry, Lar Michaels. I didn't know him very well. I know you did, but I had met him a couple of times. I know he'd been sick for a while, but still sad to lose a talent like him.
Yes, it definitely is. We were fairly good friends and spent a lot of time talking. And Lar was a very unique individual, one of the most giving and caring people you could ever meet. And definitely, it was a sad day yesterday, Rich. It really was. Crohn's colitis. It finally got the best of him, and he passed away yesterday. But my condolences to Diane, his entire family, and it is a big loss to our industry. Not only to the friends that he made over the years, of which there are numerous. And rest in peace, Lar. The pain is gone.
Yeah, and then we lost another guy who was another important fantasy guy, and I did not know him at all, but I know he died earlier in the year.
Yeah, Steve Moyer passed away. It was actually back in the spring. So Steve passed away. He was in Phoenix at the time for the labor auctions, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Yeah, so Timmy, it's. Well, I tell you, you realize how I guess old fantasy base been around. I mean, it's. We're going on 35-40 years, I guess. I mean, now you're having people that have played for years and have been so important to the industry now no longer with us. It is fascinating and interesting.
Yeah, it's when you look at the game originated in the early 80s, and most of the veterans of the game and the forefathers, take a look at us. I'll be 61 in March. You're what, 55, 56? So you'll be 56 in March, Rich, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, I will, Timmy.
Yes, yeah, so we're not getting any younger. I remember the first time I went to the Arizona Fall League and looked in the room and I looked around and all of a sudden I felt young. It's not because I of my birth certificate. It was just an older crowd, and definitely it would be nice, and hopefully we'll start seeing some younger people getting interested in the game as our generation continues to age.
Yeah, that's what I worry about, Timmy. It's the problem that baseball is having too. It's just it's an older fan base, and we know the amount of people that play fantasy football, and fantasy baseball has just not caught on like fantasy football has, and it's just a real shame because, I mean, it seems like every male plays fantasy football, probably besides the two of us. And it seems to cross generations. There's children that are playing fantasy football, but the baseball stuff seems to be old guys like us playing. And, our listeners, I know they range all over the place, but that's been disappointing as well. It's just, the baseball scene has just gotten older. And I find that disturbing, Timmy.
Well, Rich, I think a lot of it has to do with the instant gratification, of the younger generation. Maybe I shouldn't generalize, but you look at fantasy football. You submit your lineups once a week. You got limited positions. Fantasy baseball, it's a lot more work. There's a lot more positions. There's a lot more moves. It operates over a longer period of time and requires a level of dedication to the craft that I think far exceeds fantasy football. And I think that's part of the problem with the game is you have to have people that are really diehard, dedicated fans to want to play fantasy baseball. And I don't know if the younger generation has that same level that we do. I know some do, but I think across the board, I don't think it's there, Rich.
Agree with you, Timmy, but it's interesting. I know the Baseball HQ guy, Ron Chandler, try to get like a month-long season going. So the season would be 6 months, six individual months. I don't think that really got any traction. And then obviously there's daily fantasy baseball as well. And unfortunately, that's turned into just a handful of people that, you know, submit. This isn't falsehood, like hundreds of lineups. And it's become a gambling area for a handful of people. And they take any newbies, they simply take your money. So why that's become very popular, it's still way more popular in football than it is in baseball.
Well, yeah, for me, gambling is not what it's all about when it comes to fantasy baseball. It's playing the game. I can play the game for nothing. Okay, there doesn't have to be money involved, and I can love and enjoy the game. When you get into daily games, I've always said that I believe it's gambling and it's played principally for the money. And baseball, I don't think, has nearly the appeal of football when it comes to one-day gambling.
Yeah, totally agree with you. So I think that's for everybody who's in Tim McLeod leagues. He's just told you he's going to give you all of his money and not even play for the – if he wins, he's going to give the money away. That's what I heard, Tim.
Rich, did you get your phone fixed? Is there a problem with
having trouble? When we get back, Timmy, let's get into should the Angels trade Mike Trout?
Sounds good, my friend.
So I got to thinking, Timmy, when I saw the Angels signed Matt Harvey. I said, that's interesting. You know, it's a bounce back candidate. I mean, you know, there used to be obviously talent there. He can't stay healthy. His stuff's still good. I mean, he still throws 95 miles an hour. He's given up a lot of home runs, but yeah, I think that's a nice little bounce back for the Angels. And I said, should they be doing more? You know, I took a look at their starting rotation, and it's like Andrew Heaney and now Matt Harvey, Tyler Skaggs, maybe Jaime Barra. Those are okay pitchers to me. They're not good pitchers, and they're competing against, you know, the Houston Astros and their lineup and their rotation and the Red Sox, the world champions, and the Yankees who keep adding.
You there, Rich?
You there?
Yeah. It just went totally blank at my end.
Yeah, it did with me. I think actually I lost my internet connection, so it's raining here, so
okay.
That probably has something to do with it. So I actually think it was me. But I'm all good. So I'm just going to start the Mike Trout thing over again because I'll just trim it from when we came out of commercial to this. So that and then no one will be the wiser, Tim. Okay,
well, you know, that works for me. I don't like being wiser.
Okay. All right, so what's that?
Set the bar low.
Okay, so all right, so we just came out of commercial, and I'll say, okay, Timmy, so for this next segment, I kind of wanted to talk about Mike Trout. And I kind of, you know, I was sitting there as Matt Harvey was signed by the Angels. I said, yeah, okay, that's an interesting signing. He's a good bounce-back candidate, still has good stuff, still throws 95 miles an hour, strikeouts are way down, can't stay healthy. So, but, you know, there's a chance that he comes back. And then I got to thinking that, let me take a look at the rotation. It's Andrew Heaney, it's Tyler Skaggs, maybe Jaime Barra. That's not a squad, a rotation that can compete with the Astros, the Yankees, the Red Sox, maybe not even the up-and-coming like White Sox and some of the other teams that are out there. And you get to thinking about Mike Trout, who's only got 2 years, Tim, before he becomes a free agent. And I know they want to re-sign him, and I know they keep trying to talk to him, but apparently he's not ready to talk yet because he wants to see if the team's going to be good. Obviously, losing Shohei Ohtani was tough from a pitching standpoint. But, Tim, that team is not good enough to win. And then all of a sudden, if they're not good enough to win this year, then they've only got one more year of Mike Trout. And he might say, look, I'm going to go try to play for somebody that actually has a chance to win, get back closer to the East Coast. Maybe he goes plays for the Philadelphia Phillies, maybe in the Yankees or something like that. And so my question is, if you're the Angels, don't you start to think about trying to trade Mike Trout?
Well, I think they want to re-sign him. And I agree with you. I think Trout would probably be happy playing the rest of his career there. But when you look at what he's accomplished in the game and what he's probably going to continue to accomplish moving forward, there's very little left for growth per se, other than getting that ring, getting the World Series. And, you know, I think it's a very, very challenging situation for both parties. But the bottom line is, if the Angels don't think they can re-sign him at some point in time, they should really seriously look at moving him. And I don't know how long they leave that, but I would think this year is probably not the right year, simply because there's a lot of prospects in the Angels system. You know, you start looking at Adele, okay? They're saying we could see him this year, but we'll definitely see him in 2020. Okay, Canning's around the corner. He's not that far off. Jamie Jones could be at second base as early as this year. Luis Renifco?
Yeah, Luis, it's close enough. Yeah.
Brandon Marsh, you know, Jose Suarez, Kevin Maitland. The system isn't all that bad. But if they can't re-sign Trout, yeah, I think they have to move him and fill in the balance of those holes. So, you know, the other thing I think it has to come into consideration is looking at Simmons and looking at Upton. And if they're going to do something with Trout as far as moving him, they should be moving those two guys as well. So I really don't have a definitive answer other than that, you know, if at some point in time it looks like they can't re-sign him, move him. Get what you can, yeah, and then plug those pieces into the existing pieces with Ohtani returning, to the mound, hopefully, for 2020. And the Angels have a pretty fair team.
Yeah, so if I think it's going to come down to if Mike Trout says, you know, I'm just, you know, I want to see how good the team is going to be. To me, that's a red flag, Timmy. And I think what we're seeing with JT Realmuto versus Paul Goldschmidt, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt's a way better baseball player than JT Realmuto, but he's got 2 years of team control, and Goldschmidt was on his final year. So I think what we're learning is the haul that you can get back for 1 year versus 2 years is pretty substantial. So it feels like if you're going to get maximum value, now is the time to trade Trout, you know, before the beginning of the season. Because I think his value starts to diminish because, okay, now I've only got 1 year of him. And then he goes out for free agency, and I've given away, you know, a ton of talent for that. And, Timmy, you brought up a lot of prospects, and I wrote up the Angels a few weeks ago.
Right.
And it's a much better system. Joe Adell is further away than you think. I mean, the guy's got close to a 30% strikeout rate. He's only 19 years old. This is not an 80 grade hit tool that Vlad has. This is a guy that's got a below average hit tool. And I think he has a chance to be very good, but so did Byron Buxton. And they rushed him, and Byron Buxton's still trying to establish himself. So those are, you know, concerns that you've got with some of those young players. But I worry about that pitching staff. And, yeah, maybe they signed Dallas Keuchel, but he's a 3 or a 4. They don't have what I know Shohei Ohtani might have been a 1 or a 2. Losing him was brutal, Timmy, because he's not pitching this year, and he's probably not going to pitch a full season next year. It may be 160 innings or something, and that's what's tough.
Well, yeah, no, it definitely is. I think it's going to boil down to whether or not Mike Trout believes the Angels are going to be a contending team in the next 3 to 4 years. And who knows what he's thinking at this stage. But if he doesn't believe that to be a reality – and I think the Angels have shown an earnest willingness to move forward and try and improve the team around. Ohtani was a horrible break for them as far as the pitching. They went out and they got this kid, and, you know, he was supposed to anchor the pitching staff, and it didn't work out because of the injury. But that's not to say that 2 years down the road, he won't be that ace. We just don't know. It'll all depend, I think, on what Mike Trout wants to do, because the ball's in his court. He's the best player in the game, and if he's not going to resign, like I said a bit earlier, yeah, moving him is the only option. And the Angels can move him if they're playing for 2 to 3 years out, and the haul they would get is huge.
Yeah, I don't know Mike Trout. I mean, I met him a couple times when he was a kid, and not a kid, like 18, 19 years old, but I don't know the guy. But I would have to assume, Timmy, and unless he all of a sudden just becomes Brandon Belt here. I mean, this is a guy who's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's set. I mean, he's already got, I mean, he's, I think, 150th highest WAR in the history of baseball. I mean, he's moving up the ranks very, very quickly. And to me, he can play anywhere he wants. Somebody's going to pay him a ton of money. I think it's going to become, I want to win. He seems like that kind of competitive guy that he wants to win. And quite frankly, Philadelphia looks a lot better than the Angels do over the next 5 years.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you. And he's at the age now where this next deal is going to lock him up basically for the balance of his career. He's 27. He'll be 28 next year. So he's looking at signing a deal, you know, heading into his age 30 season, probably a 6 to 8 year deal. And it's going to be basically, I don't know, a one-time opportunity for him. And I really don't know which way he's going to lean, but at some point in time, the Angels have to make a decision. And if Trout is unwilling to commit, because I don't think it'll boil down to money, it's going to be about winning. And, you know, if Trout isn't willing to commit, at some point in time, it's going to force the Angels' hand.
Yeah. So, Timmy, if Bryce Harper's probably going to get $33 to $35 million a year, yeah, granted, probably over 10 years just because, you know, he's younger when he's going for his contract, Trout probably won't get a 10-year deal, but he's probably going to get a higher annual average, so his AAV is going to be a lot higher. Is it possible he's a $45 or $50 million a year player?
I could see $350 to $400 million for Mike Trout. Yeah.
I have no problem with 6 or 7 years, though. I mean, I think you could be looking at a potential $40 to $50 million a year, probably starting off 35 and graduating up to 50, which is insane. But I think that's what you're looking at if Bryce Harper's worth 35.
Yeah. What's Mike Trout worth if Harper's worth 35? You look at the history. You're looking at $40 to $50 million a year at the, you know, when he looks at signing.
Yeah, which is insane. Yeah, one other thing, and then I'm going to ask you the question: will the Angels ever trade him? But my question is, if if JT Realmuto is probably commanding, and I think the rumor now is they've signed Michael Brantley, Kyle Tucker might be a guy they move for JT Realmuto plus probably a second tier kind of prospect. That's what JT Realmuto gets. I mean, what does Mike Trout give you? Is it, if we stick with the Astros, is it Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker and maybe Jordan Alvarez? I mean, is it that big of a haul and maybe a couple of guys down? I mean, it's got to be insane in terms of the players that you get back.
Well, you know, I think they could trade Trout today, okay? And with the pieces that they have in their system and the pieces they could potentially acquire, it would make the Angels a competitive team within 2 years. How's that?
And which is why I think it's interesting because, Astros are in their window. I mean, they're in their window, and 2 years of Mike Trout would be a big deal for them, right? So they'd have to give up Forrest Whitley and Kyle Tucker and probably a couple of younger guys as well. Hey, Forrest Whitley has a chance. Imagine Forrest Whitley plus Shohei Ohtani in 2021. That's a pretty good 1-2 potential combination there.
Well, yeah, and you throw the kids in the system, Canning and Suarez with Jaime Barria, who's only 22. All of a sudden, you get a rotation. They're all under 25, and it's looking pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Tucker's not Mike Trout, but maybe a 70% of Mike Trout, 60% of Mike Trout, but then you throw in Joe Adele, and maybe Joe Adele is 75% of Mike Trout, and you got a potentially a pretty good team. So, I'm sure those are the struggles that they're having in the front office, of the Angels. But the final question is, would they ever trade him?
Yeah, I think they would. When it gets to the time and the stage where
Jimmy, you haven't said the time and the stage in 2 years. Tim McCloud brings back a good oldie but goodie time and the stage. Remember, you people used to, it was a drinking game for a while that you always said that.
At this stage of the game, how's that?
Exactly.
They can't let him walk, okay? They are not, under no circumstances will the Angels let Mike Trout play out the string and walk. That's not going to happen. So either they're going to get a commitment from Trout and they will move forward and they will give him his $40 to $50 million a year, or they'll move him. It's inevitable. And I don't think they want to take that approach, but like I said, they're not going to let him walk. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. So I think if they move him, I feel this way with Madison Bumgarner. They're only going to move him the July trading deadline, July of that final year that he's there. I don't think they're going to do it before. I don't think they'll move Mad Bum before the beginning of the season. Maybe, here's a rental player for a couple months and give me something way less than I could have gotten if I traded Mad Bum or Mike Trout, 2 years ago. But I think they hold on to him, Timmy, because I think the blowback from the Angels fan would be so high. And I know Artie Moreno has a really close relationship with Trout loves him. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think it's the emotional. I think it's Tony Sincotta's bobblehead. That's a tough call.
Yeah, no, it really is tough because you're right. He's the best player in the game. And their fan base has watched him, from day one when he was drafted, growing through the organization and his on-field play being the best in the world, that's not going to sit easy. But at some point in time, a decision is going to have to be made. And, the ball's in Mike Trout's court. I don't think money will ever be an issue.
Yeah, if Jerry DePoto was there, he'd probably be traded. But Farazidi, who just came over from the Dodgers, now he runs the San Francisco Giants. There's no way his first act is going to be, I'm trading Madison Bumgarner, who, single-handedly won them a World Series. Let's face it. I forgot which one it was. And he was instrumental in the other two. I mean, this is a legendary San Francisco Giant player. And I can't imagine, again, him being traded, which he should be. Now he should be moved. I can't
right.
imagine they're going to do that except for, hey, we stink, Madison. We're going to trade you to the Braves because they have a chance to go to the World Series and you can do your magic. And thank you for every – I think the fans would be okay with that. It's like, hey, this is a good thing for Madison Bumgarner, but to trade him now would be – I can't imagine him doing – I can't imagine a general manager coming in and that is his first act.
Yeah, it's not going to win you a lot of fan support. But at the same point in time, it's going to happen. Are they going to let Madison Bumgarner walk and get nothing for it, basically? I can't see that happening. So if he is not traded at the trade deadline, I'd be totally shocked. I really would.
Yeah. So, I mean, so the Orioles got, you know, used an LD. It's a chance to be an everyday regular. But if Manny Machado would have been traded 2 years ago, you're talking serious return. Remember when Madison Bumgarner a couple years ago before he did the stupid dirt bike accident? One of the top 5-10 pitchers in all of baseball. And what he could have returned then and now what he can return now is something a lot less.
Well, yeah, but the Giants were winning. And unfortunately, they got old in a hurry. And
yeah.
They've got a lot of long-term contracts, a lot of guys locked into long-term unfavorable contracts as far as potentially moving them. And it's going to be tough. But, you know, what do you do with Madison Bumgarner? You know, your fans' expectations are a little bit different when you're looking at a player heading into free agency, okay, with potentially no return. It's inevitable, I think, that he does get moved. It's how they go about doing that that will make the difference. And, you know, hey, the same thing will happen with Mike Trout. At some point in time, the reality will set in with the fans, and it's not going to set well. But the bottom line is, at some point in time, Mike Trout's going to make a decision, and it's not going to be to spite Angels fans, or it's just part of the game. And everybody will get over it in time, Rich. They will. That's just the nature of the beast.
So at the trading deadline, and this has been reported in multiple places, the Houston Astros had a deal with the Washington Nationals. Luno and Rizzo, two general managers, had a deal. We've never heard who the players are, for Bryce Harper to go and play the final 2 months of the year in the Houston Astros, which could have made a difference, Tim. It could have made a difference.
Right.
They brought it up to ownership and Washington, and they said no.
Yeah, and that's why they should have taken the deal.
They could have. And like Kyle Tucker could have been. To get 2 months of Bryce Harper would have been more than using El Diaz. You know, so it would have been a good player. And I think the reason they said was, well, maybe it won't give us a chance to be in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. You know, this, you know, in 2019, which, as you know, was stupid because he's going to go wherever the most amount of money is. So,
so yeah, you know, money talks, BS walks, right? That's the way it's going to be. Yeah.
So if you have opinions, reach out to us and let us know. It's two questions. Should the Angels trade Mike Trout, and will they? I say they should and they will not. Tim says they should and they will.
Yes, that's where my train of thought's at, Rich. It will happen.
Well, we've got a steak and liquor bet that hopefully in a year and a half or so we'll figure out who was right. So, Timmy, we get back. Let's talk about some more trades.
Sounds good.
Couple of signings, Sammy, four signings to be particular. In particular, I mean, Michael Brantley gets signed by the Astros. And I think the theme here is these are all fairly reasonable deals by the teams. There's no 4-year There's no Andrew McCutchen 4-year, $60 million deal. This is a 2-year, $32 million deal that the Astros are signing for. Yeah, he'll be 32 next season, but this is a contact machine. I mean, it's just he's been that way now for the last few years. There's his average power, his speed is not what it used to be. He's still a pretty good player, provided he stays healthy. What do you think of the deal?
I think it's a good deal, but it raises some questions about Kyle Tucker. And
for sure, you know,
if they don't move Josh Reddick, it looks like Kyle Tucker is going to start in AAA unless he's traded. And here's a trade that works, Rich, that works really well. Why don't the Astros, okay, flip Kyle Tucker, which has already been rumored, and A.J. Reed, okay? Do A.J. a favor. Flip him to the Marlins for Real Muto.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of value with Kyle Tucker, man. Real Muto, I mean, he's good. He's a catcher, though. How much is he going to play? You know, the 120 games, I guess. I think A.J. Reed's a guy, and I asked the question in here. It says, like, Derek Fisher's turned into A.J. Reed as well, right? He's in the A.J. Reed purgatory. They just have no chance because the Astros are so deep. So, yeah, I think they would do that, Timmy.
Well, and you know, it makes sense because they got Brantley for 2 years. It fits into the, you know, it fits into what they're looking at, okay, short term. You know, you add Real Muto for the next 2 years with Brantley. You know, Josh Reddick, they could find a way to move that or eat the contract. It's $13 million over the next two seasons that they owe him. I'm sure the Astros could find a way to make that work, kick in some money on a deal to move him. And you know, hey, they've still got adequate bench strength with Mariznick and Straw and Tony Kemp. You know what I mean? Backing up the three outfielders they have, so. I wouldn't be at all shocked to see something like that happen. I mean, hey, Miami needs a first baseman. They don't have one, per se.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they need a lot, Timmy. So they need a lot. Pick a position, Timmy. I think they need it. So
yes.
And I think, you know, I tweeted this out this week. I know you're not on Twitter anymore, but I was sitting there just thinking, they're really holding out for JT Realmuto. And and I have to believe that. The name just escaped me. The guy that won the MVP last year went to the Brewers.
Christian Yelich.
Yeah, Christian Yelich. They kind of gave him away. I mean, they got Lewis Brinson back for Christian Yelich. Now, I still think there's something there, but there's no way. And there's no way in any universe that Lewis Brinson's going to win an MVP. So I have to believe, Timmy, they said, we got to be really careful. We got taken for Christian Yelich. We got taken for Giancarlo Stanton. We got taken for Osuna. Let's not get taken for Realmuto. Now they were dancing with the Mets, and the Mets signed, you know, Wilson Ramos. So it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up with the Astros or not.
Yeah, the one positive that everybody trading with Miami still has to ponder is the fact that Derek Jeter is still running things, and he made all those crappy deals. So what's one more, right?
Okay, that's a fair point, Timmy. It's a fair point. So I do think it's a good sign for the Astros, and the Astros need, I mean, what allowed them to win that World Series was health, for one, and then two is just, you know, Brantley's a tough out given his ability to make contact. They don't need power guys. They got plenty of guys that can hit, you know, 30-plus home runs, and I think he's going to be a really, really nice addition to that squad. And they say he might play a little bit of first base, which poor A.J. Reed. A.J. Reed has, I think, purgatory. That's the right word. He is in AAA purgatory.
Yeah, right now I think he's buried behind Straw, who's an outfielder. You can throw him in there. They'd put Straw at first base first.
That's right. So give me a stat line for Brantley. Home runs, stolen bases, and batting average.
15 home runs, 10 stolen bases. I'll go with a .300 batting average.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, from a fantasy standpoint, he'll probably score some runs because he'll be on a I guess he was in a pretty good situation with Cleveland. There's going to be some runs, you know, in a rotisserie league. That's good. But what is that? Is that like a number three outfielder? We got like mid
rank. Yeah,
or
I would
something?
Say probably. Yeah, probably number three. Yeah. That sounds fair.
And then poor Derek Fisher, there's no chance. He's dead man walking. I always like Fisher. I think there's something there. So didn't I trade you Fisher for somebody in a league?
Could have been. I liked Derek Fisher at one point in time, and until he kept sliding backwards on the depth charts. Hopefully, at some point in time, they move him because, you know, hey, I'm hoping they move Kyle Tucker. He could be stuck there in the minors for 2 years, couldn't he? But potentially.
Yeah, you know, and the Astros, to me, this would be potentially the third situation where A.J. Reed came up, did not play well. Derek Fisher came up, did not play well. Kyle Tucker came up and did not play well. So, you know, they gave Alex Bregman, you know, 35 at-bats, and he finally started – around, but I guess my point is a good team who doesn't have time to develop people at the major league level. And I think we might be seeing a trend here that if you don't come up and produce immediately, you're going to get buried.
Well, and the thing is, they're in their window right now. So they're not prepared to wait. Alex Bregman was part of getting to that window. The game's changed a little bit for them now, hasn't it?
It surely has. And just so you know, I mean, Garrett Cole's a free agent next year, and so is Justin Verlander. And the last I looked, that means the only pitcher under contract is Lance McCullers. The last time I remember, isn't he recovering from Tommy John surgery?
Yeah, I don't know if he's gone yet or he's I'm not sure what the scoop is there. I'll take a quick look while we're chatting, but it's not good for that arm, that's for sure. Josh James and, you know, Forrest Whitley, they're gonna see action. Yeah, he went under Tommy John at the beginning of November, so he's gone for the full 2019 season.
And I Houston Astros is done. I'll just tease it a little bit. I still think Josh James is probably a back end closer guy. I still think that's where he ultimately lands. I think Framber Valdez is the same kind of guy. It's, you know, there's a chance he's a solid starter, but he's never really thrown strikes. And maybe he's discovered that this back in 2018. Maybe he figured it out. Great arm. But don't be surprised, Tammy, if, you could say that about anybody. I don't think he's not Forrest Whitley, that you would be shocked if this guy isn't a full-time starter for his career. I think Josh James, there's reliever risk there.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you. The only real plus is right now, if you look at that rotation, they got Verlander and Cole, and both of them are heading into free agency, I believe. McCullers is out. So if you're looking at 2020, right now you've got Josh James, Colin McHugh, Framber Valdez, and Forrest Whitley. Those are probably your – and what is it, Bustakas?
Yeah.
If they don't make that's what they could be looking at for 2020.
Yeah, so I think you have to assume at the moment that by 2020, Forrest Whitley has a chance to do – very good things very, very quickly, right? So, could be in the kind of talk of rookie of the year, much like, you know, the pitcher out of the Dodgers was, Walker Buehler. I think he's got that kind of talent and quick talent. Josh James and other guys, they're not top of the rotation guys. They're probably number three at best. Lance McCullers, you just don't know what you're going to get. I still think he's a closer. So they need to pick up some guys somewhere along the way, either free agents or to fill out that rotation, or they're going to be doing a lot of openers.
Yeah, exactly. Things could look potentially very, very different come 2020 in that Houston rotation. So, you know, hey, this has got to be their year, which is why I think they'll make a move for Real Muto. 2019, I think, represents a better opportunity for them than potentially 2020. Does that make sense?
Totally agree. And that's why I agree. I think they'll make a move for Real Muto because it is their window. And their offensive window is probably another 3 years, but they got to do something about that pitching. But we know that 2019, unless they get besieged by injuries, is going to be a window. And, you know, it's going to be them. It's going to be the trio. It's the Yankees, the Astros, and the Red Sox. And I think as we get to the beginning of the season, I think it's impossible to know who's going to be favored to go to the World Series, because they're all three going to be very, very good.
Yeah, you know, you look at Gerrit Cole, and it might be to their advantage to look at finding a way to extend him before he gets to free agency.
He's a Boris client. That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, if they offered him enough money, it would.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I think the only stop Boris client. Yeah, I know Steven Strasburg signed early. He was a Boris client, but yeah, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery. He was always injured, and but he got 140 or something like that. Gerrit Cole's. I bet you they're going to try to break the bank with him.
Well, yeah, I'm sure if Houston say offered Cole $30 million over 5 years as an extension, that would have to at least get somebody's attention. You would think.
Nope, I don't think that's going to do it. I think it's a David Price kind of contract. I think it's a $200+ million deal. Whatever Scherzer signed for, I would not be surprised if that's what Gerrit Cole's going to be looking for. You know what? I think the Astros will tap out. I don't think they're going to say it's a pitcher. We like him. We're not going to go that. We're not going to go that far with him. I think they'll look other places.
Well, yeah, maybe they're looking to Cleveland right now and Corey Kluber to try and solve that problem, right?
You know, Tim, you bring up a really good point. But now, does Cleveland need to? They've shedded so much payroll. Do they need to shed one of those pitchers? I don't know. I don't think so. They got rid of E5. That was a big deal.
Yeah, no, I think Cleveland's now in a situation money wise where they can keep that rotation. And you know what? Hey, pitching wins at the end of the day, and yeah. Cleveland's got the best rotation in baseball, I believe, bar none.
But wouldn't you agree that bullpen is suspect at the moment? That's what wins, is the bullpen.
Yeah, they need to do a little bit of upgrading in the bullpen. But they can get 6-7 innings out of those starters. That puts them in a pretty good shape. Brad Hand will get the job done as a closer. They just need to find a few bridge guys and an outfielder or three.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, Timmy. I mean, I take a look at the Yankees, man, and that ridiculous bullpen. I mean, their starters only have to go 5 innings, so you figure they can amp it up for 5 innings in the playoffs and then give it over, boom, boom, boom. And we saw with Cleveland that if their starters wobble at all, and that happens when you're in the playoffs and you're playing against some of the best offenses, you know, you're dead. That's when you become dead.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you even look at the Yankees in their window. You know, you look at that bullpen, and, yeah, it's solid, but, you know, is Dylan Betances, I believe, is heading into his free agency for 2020. Yeah, he is. You take Betances out of that bullpen, and the Yankees are looking not nearly as strong as they were. And let's face it, with the history between Betances and Randy, I can't even remember his name right now.
Choke?
The president of the club.
Oh,
Levine,
Randy Levine, yep.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, look at the history between Levine and Betances and the calling out on that last arbitration, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Betances, is he going to re-up with the Yankees? All of a sudden, the Yankees bullpen could be very, very suspect, just as Cleveland's is right now.
Yes, but here's the deal, Timmy. First of all, the Yankees have more money than anybody, right? More money than the Dodgers,
right.
More money than the Red Sox. They've reset their payroll, so they don't have to go into crazy, you know, giving money back to all the other leagues. And many of the players want to play there. I mean, Manny Machado has come out and Bryce Harper both said we want to play and be if Bryce Harper gets offered $330 million to play for the Yankees and $350 million to play for the White Sox or the Philadelphia, he's going to pick the Yankees. He'll take a slight discount to play there. I don't think he's going to. I mean, Bryce Harper's going to play for Chicago? Really? No, he wants to play for the Yankees because he's a big shot and a big deal. Same with Manny Machado. I think all those guys want to play for the pinstripe because of the history and their tradition, and that's what the Yankees have. They've got the money and they got the cachet that they can sign whoever they want.
Yeah, definitely. It increases the odds of them at some point in time wearing a ring. There's no doubt about that.
And they've also got the money in case, we bought somebody for, 3 years and $30 million. It didn't work out. Well, we'll cut them. Yeah, because they can do that. They can make mistakes. The Cleveland Indians cannot make that kind of mistake.
No, they can only make that like once.
Yeah. And the Yankees can make it a bunch of times. Let's go to the Mets. So Mets signed Wilson Ramos, a 2-year, $10 million deal. Again, another reasonable contract, Timmy. So your thoughts on that signing? I know you're a big fan of Wilson Ramos.
Yeah, I am a big fan. I like what he brings to the table. And to be honest with you, I was a little surprised at the deal. I was expecting to see a little bit more, but it doesn't seem like a little bit more other than maybe two players and Josh Donaldson is going to be the norm this year. You're looking at eight and a quarter, 9.25 with a $10 million club option. I think it's a great deal for the Mets. And I think they're going to be very happy with Ramos behind the dish.
All this means, Timmy, is when the next collective bargaining agreement comes up, it's going to be ugly. So because the players are just not getting the money they thought they were getting.
Well, yeah, no, guaranteed. What we're seeing right now is the prelims to, like you said, a lot of ugliness. I'm not anticipating seeing baseball in the spring of, 2021?
Or whatever year. I'm worried about. Yeah. I'm very, very worried about that. Yeah, Bryce Harper's going to get his money. Manny Machado's going to Patrick Corbin got his money. You know, there's every year there's three or four top guys that get it, but that's three or four votes. Everybody else is not getting it, Timmy. That's what people are concerned about.
Well, sure. Is Brian Dozier going to get his money?
No. Mike Moustakas is going to get his money. They're going to get one-year deals.
Yeah, Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, one year, $8.5 million. Yep.
Yeah, you know what? The players are smart to take it because at some point in time there ain't gonna be anybody offering. Not when you've got a handful of teams competing for the World Series, and the other 20 some sitting back and saying we're rebuilding.
And you have to believe, Timmy, that the players are talking about this all the time. I mean, they're not blind. They know what's going on. And it's all about the Benjamins in the end. I mean, these guys want to get paid, and rightfully so. I mean, they have a right to earn a living and do well. I mean, that's what the market plays. And when it's not no longer paying it, that's where you get that's where people strike. It's happened all throughout history.
Yeah, and it's not going to be any different in the game of baseball, guaranteed. You know, hey, the game's getting younger. The younger players aren't making the money. The idea behind it was older players reap the rewards at the end of their career. That's not happening. So if you're not seeing it happen at both ends, you know, something's got to give, and in a big way.
Totally agree. So you're ranking the catchers. It's going to come out soon. So I'm going to ask you to tease us all. Wilson Ramos is a top blank catcher in fantasy.
5.
Wow. I think you're right.
You take a look at what's available in catching right now, Rich, and I'm just pulling up my rankings as I've got right now Ramo sitting at number 3.
Wow. So I'm assuming ahead of that it's got to be Romuto and probably Gary Sanchez, right?
No, it's not. I've got Sanchez at 5.
Wow. Who's 2?
I've got Yadier Molina at 2. Yadier at 2 and Sal Perez at 4 right now with Sanchez at 5.
Wow. I guess Buster Posey's
not. A 186 batting average out of Sanchez with 18 homers?
Yeah, but he was hurt. He was hurt, Tim. Come on.
Well, yeah, and if he was Canadian, he could go to the hospital and get his feelings fixed or free. But
I'm very sorry to Mr. and Mrs. Sanchez. I am a big fan of your son, as opposed to other people on this broadcast. So,
I'm looking around and all I see is me, Rich.
Here you go. Let me ask you another question. Travis d'Arnaud is a blank catcher in fantasy. It's this poor Travis d'Arnaud. He's done, right? I mean, there's no reason to own him.
If you're playing in 20-team, two-catcher formats, he will fit into your plans. How's that?
Yeah. He might get a few at-bats just because Wilson Ramos won't get – he's never been a ton of an at-bat guy. But, I mean, there's some – but, you know, he's coming back from Tommy John surgery, so you don't even know what to expect out of him. So let's move on to me. The Yankees signed J.A. Happ, and Happ is one of those guys, again, another reasonable deal, 2 years, $34 million. Granted, he's 36 years old. Again, I remember Marcus Potter, when he used to be on our show, when his son Tennessee was born, I remember saying he was going to tie his right arm behind him so he'd learn to use his left hand. Remember that? And it's true, man. I mean, these lefties, Timmy, as long as you can pitch and get guys out, you're going to keep getting signed.
Well, and you know what? J.A. Happ has been a solid, dependable pitcher for a while now. And, you know, he adapted very well in New York. And, when you look at the pitching options out there, he fits very well into the New York Yankees' plans for next season. It was a good sign.
17-6, struck out almost 10 per 9, walked 2.5 per 9, posted a 3.65 ERA. I think it's a great signing with J.A. Happ. I like it. So, stat line for 2019, wins, strikeouts, and ERA.
Well, I think the strikeouts are going to come down a little bit. Last year was a little bit above the norm for Happ. He's more like a pinch shy of a strikeout per inning type. So I'm going to go 175 innings. I'll go 170 Ks, 15 wins, and a 3.75 ERA.
He's going to be a very valuable contributor. So that's he's going to go later in drafts, Timmy, because it's J.A. Happ. And, I mean, it's like, it's
right.
Old and he's a sneaky – I think there might be some sneaky value there.
Yeah, I don't have any problems looking at J.A. Happ as a number three.
Yeah.
No problems at all. And in New York, I would rank him as their number three, behind Severino, Paxton, Happ, Tanaka, and Cece. Not a bad rotation in New York.
That's a good rotation. Yeah, I'd probably rather have Tanaka. I still like Tanaka. I know his arm's going to fall off one day, and I know every time he goes out there, we're expecting. But when he pitches, he's pretty good.
Well, I think what you have to look at is, you know, he pitched very, very well in the playoffs, and it looked good. But, you know, 156 innings, I can see a range. When you look at Tanaka since he's been in New York, you know, we've seen ERAs from a low of 3, or actually 2.77 in the first year on reduced innings. But, yeah, you know, I think you could look anywhere from 3.20, 3.30. to the other side of 4. You know, there's a wide range of expected outcomes with Tanaka. And I think Happ is a little more stable in his potential range of outcomes at this stage.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I mean, 12 wins, 156 innings, 9. So strikeout in inning, only 2 walks per 9, and a 3.75 ERA. So it's not much off from Happ. I mean, they're pretty similar pitchers with health being on Happ's side.
Yeah, I think the thing that concerns me with Tanaka was 2017, the 4.74 ERA and the 1.24 WHIP. But yeah, they're very, very close. And I know it's almost blasphemous for me to diss a former Japanese pitcher, but right now, when you look at the relative cost price when you get to the draft board, I think I'd have Happ a little bit higher. Just a bit.
Final acquisition, Timmy, is the White Sox acquired Yonder Alonso in a trade. They gave up kind of a second-tier prospect back to the Indians because the Indians were looking to – I think it was the Indians, right? Wasn't it the Indians?
Yeah,
they were looking to clear salary. And, you know, Alonso's one of those guys that really turned his career around because he got into the launch angle phenomenon and went from a handful of home runs to 28 in 2017 – 23 last year. Strikeouts are now up, so he's probably a 250 hitter, which he was. If that's what it feels like the guy is, Sammy. He's 20 to 25 home run guy, a 250, 320 on base percentage guy. Isn't that who Yonder Alonso is?
I think potentially it is. I'm not quite that bullish this year, Rich. You know, if you look at the past two seasons, and you know, in 2017 he hit 20. He hit 13 of them, I think, in about a month and a half. He hit 6 in July last year. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Alonso come in with 17, 18 homers next year, along with that 250 batting average.
He's not a starting first baseman on your fantasy team.
Hopefully he's not on mine as a starting first baseman, or I would have done something wrong, Rich. I'm not overly bullish.
Yeah, so what do the White Sox do with Jose Abreu? I mean, is he still the first baseman? And Lonzo's a better defensive first baseman. Does he move to DH? What are you thinking around that?
Well, Abreu's not a bad defensive first baseman either. I think they'll work the two of them back and forth. Yeah, I think Abreu will play first base and DH, and the same with Alonso. I think, is Alonso that much better than Matt Davidson?
I don't know, Timmy. I questioned the whole deal. I didn't really understand it. It's like, I know that he is married to Manny Machado's sister.
Right.
And you hear that maybe that was a way to try to get Machado to come in. Gosh, you hope not, but maybe they did that. But it just seems like, okay, he's a guy, Timmy. I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure he's all that special from a baseball standpoint. He's okay.
Yeah, no, I thought it was sort of intriguing that, you know, the family thing. But I wonder if Machado, you know, at family gatherings, if he steps on any toes.
or trip somebody. Very well played. You know, it's funny. So you're hearing all these things. So the White Sox, you know, trade Alonso. Hey, we got your brother-in-law here, and the Yankees wheel out Carlos Beltran as a special advisor to Cashman. Apparently, that's Manny Machado's idol, and you know, that's who we want it to become. And both. And you know, this is like everybody's got an angle. It's ever who provides the most amount of cash. I mean, that's where he's going.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, when Manny and Yonder sit down, you know, over Thanksgiving dinner, okay, I'm sure the topic of conversation is from Yonder. Hey, Manny, why don't you take a $50 million cut, okay, so we can play together? Can't see it happening.
Now, and it's going to be, well, even if the Reds, even if the White Sox offer me a lot more, it's got to be a lot more money than the Yankees are offering me to go. Would you rather play in the Windy City or in Yankee Land? So it'll be interesting to see where he signs. Timmy, let's take a quick break, and then I'm going to ask you that very specific question. Maybe I can't take a break, Tim.
No. No breaks. Huh.
All right. Well, I can't play the music because it says I'm disconnected, but I think we're all okay. So I think we're still going. Anyway, we'll just do a break without the music. So coming back from the break, so Timmy, just wrap up here. So no signings yet of Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and it'll be interesting to see if, and there's been talk of this already, do they start to put a free agent deadline on this? Because the winter meetings are dull, man. If you're, none of these big guys are signing, it's like, you know, it's just guys are signing in January and February. I mean, where's that fun? But anyway, Manny signs with the blank.
The White Sox. I think they're going to offer him enough money to entice him.
I think he goes with the Yankees, but we'll see. Bryce Harper signs with the blank.
Philadelphia, because I traded all their outfielders in the Dynasty League this week, Rich. So I think Harper signs with the Phillies.
Regrettably, I think he signs back with the Nationals, and then that's going to start the Victor Robles watch. and maybe the Adam Eaton watch, and like, what do we do there? Because I mean, I'm all in on Victor Robles, as I know you are as well.
Right.
I think he signs back with the Nationals, but I don't think the Yankees are going to sign him. Maybe he goes to the Dodgers. I don't know, but you got the Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia gets aced out, Timmy. They want to spend all that money, and nobody. I don't think anybody wants to play there.
But free batteries, okay, with every contract.
Yeah. So, Timmy, it's a wrap. Just a couple of final things here. Mock draft. It's our first mock draft of the year is on December 30th, so a week from this Sunday. And are you ready? How can people participate? How are you going to do this?
It's a good question, Rich. Am I ready? No. Will I be ready? Definitely yes. I think what I'm doing is I'm looking at an alternative host, and I haven't quite got it secured yet, but I will in the next couple of days. And I think the easiest thing for now, okay, is between today and Sunday, slip me an email at
No. We're not doing that, Tim. I'm saving you from yourself. Where do you usually hang out? You hang out on one of the Facebook pages.
Yeah, Baseball 365. That would be the easiest way, Rich, is starting as soon as people get this information. Okay, I'll put a post up. Yeah, this is you're saving me from some grief here. Right?
Yeah, exactly. I very much am, Timmy. Trust me in this.
No. Okay. All of a sudden the lights are coming on. Okay, and there's a ding, 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 ding in the background, and I'm thinking, yeah, come on, I don't need 100 emails. Yeah, no, very good point, and well taken. let's go to. I'll start a thread. At Baseball 365, and all I want is your name, and what I will do is I will do a random drawing, and we'll take it from there. I'll set everything up, and we'll be ready to go on the 30th, Rich. I'm just not quite sure yet how I'm going to work it, but I'll have that cleared up in the next day.
Okay, so everybody, if you haven't joined Baseball 365, that's where Tim hangs out, go join that group, and drop them a note, and it'll be a lottery kind of based thing, and hopefully you'll be joining. It'll be Tim and 14 of his friends, and all I get to do is criticize Timmy. So I will be hosting and just talking about picks. I'm not drafting.
Yeah, no, that's very noble of you, Rich. And at some point in time, I will pay you back for that. Okay. Not that I'm a dick about not that type of guy, but.
So, and then probably after the first of the year, we'll start to get into rankings. We'll finish up our prospect talks. We'll finish up our fantasy questions. We're halfway done that. We'll be starting with the AL East when we get back after the first of the year. Lots of draft prep, lots of fantasy talks, and baseball stuff thrown in. We've got a full plate here, Timmy, as we go through the winter. We'll be doing a lot of prospect special broadcasts, so all of the – you know, the divisional ones we'll be doing is the week kind of podcast. We'll be doing top 100 podcasts as well. So lots of stuff coming up. So I'm really looking forward to the draft prep, Tim.
Yes, as am I, Rich. I think it'll be a lot of fun. And as far as the rankings are concerned, you'll get catchers sometime over the holidays. I've got first base, second base, and shortstop listed, recorded. I'm just writing feverishly capsules, ranking, re-ranking, and my plan is by the middle of February to have them all in your trusty hands.
Cool. Well, that's great. I'm still writing the I didn't do any writing this week. I've got almost on the A system, and all I have left is Texas and Seattle, and my writing will be done, so I'm coming down the back stretch here. But Timmy, as we close off and as we look to Christmas next week on Tuesday, I have a couple of Christmas questions for you. This is kind of get to know the great Tim McLeod.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like fun, Rich.
Okay. Two questions. Very simple questions, Timmy. Now, you could be ridiculed based on your responses, but just two very simple
questions.
That
wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last, Rich.
Okay. First question is fruitcake, yes or no?
N-O, capitals. I'm responsible, okay, this year for the family gathering in Thunder Bay. I'm bringing the dessert, okay? Perfect question. And I am bringing a Dairy Queen ice cream cake, okay?
Oh, my gosh, you're the best. That's awesome. That is awesome.
How to score points with your grandkids and your family. Bring a Dairy Queen ice cream cake for Christmas dessert.
So seriously, Timmy, what is the average age of somebody who likes fruitcake? I'm thinking 75.
Well, it depends how much brandy you pour over it and how big a fire you get, Rich. But, yeah, I'll go with 75.
I mean, you know, it's funny. I bring this up because I was in the grocery store, and there was a big, you know, there's Claxton. There's only one I think that makes them now. There's, like, bricks, and that's what they truly are, Timmy. They're bricks. And I'm looking at it, and there literally is probably 100 in this case, and not one has been taken. And I'm going, like, do the people, like, I live in a hip, trendy area, Timmy. There are no millennials eating fruitcake.
Well, no, definitely not. When I was a kid, it was tradition. You know, an English background, my grandfather was born in England, and the tradition was you had to have plum pudding with brandy on it, served with whipped cream, okay? And I hated plum pudding. I'd take the smallest piece of plum pudding, pray for the brandy, and put 16 scoops of whipped cream on top just to get it down. No more plum pudding for Timmy. It ain't happening, Rich.
Yeah, so and the same thing. I remember my mother used to make fruitcake, and it was a little better than the, you know, because maybe it had a better stuff in it, maybe it had better, right? But the stuff you get in the store, oh. And I'm Claxton, I'm sure they're owned by Smucker's or somebody like that. Now I have no idea. Most of those companies aren't their individuals, but so maybe they'll never become a sponsor. That stuff's nasty, Timmy. It's nasty.
You know, like I said, I want to remain a part of the family. Ice cream cake works, okay?
Not fruitcake. Okay, second question is, I'm glad we can stay friends, because if you said yes, it would have been serious discussion, Timmy, because fruitcake is not good. So if there's anybody who likes fruitcake, send us a note and say you like fruitcake. So second one is, I'm against eggnog, Timmy. I'm not an eggnog. Question to you is, eggnog, yes or no?
No, I cut right to the chase and take just the rum and a few ice cubes. I don't want to ruin it by putting eggnog in it, Rich.
I don't like the taste of eggnog.
No, I'm not a fan either. I never have been, but people just go right crazy for eggnog over the holiday period. I know from being in the grocery convenience industry, we used to sell a ton of it, and it's never been for me. That's a pass.
Yeah, it's a pass for me as well. So those are my two Christmas questions, Tammy. Yeah. And you've already said that you're responsible for the Dairy Queen ice cream. You'll be in Thunder Bay visiting your children and your grandchildren. So have fun with that, and let us know how the Dairy Queen ice. Take a picture of it. Let us know how it goes, because we expect hot fudge and sprinkles. What was the thing, the cake that you ate, the brownie?
I'll have to bring my own sprinkles. And I'm actually listening on occasion to my cardiologist, Rich, so the hot fudge is a thing of the past. And I want to wish you and Lori and the kids a very, very Merry Christmas. Safe travels during the holiday season, and thanks for everything this past year. It's been a fun year, and I'm looking forward to even bigger, better, and a happier 2019, Rich. To our listeners, hey, thanks for your support over the past year, and here's wishing you all the best over the holiday season.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Tim, we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, December 30th. Merry Christmas, Rich.
Merry Christmas. Be well.